We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Tuesday evening. Well, we're getting more and more clarity, at least on the scheduling aspect of college football. And a lot of other storylines to get into as well, especially from some things that went on over the weekend. We head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Our friend of the show joins us, Bill Bender, national college football writer for SportingNews.com. Follow Bill on Twitter, as always, at BillBender92. Bill, how we doing, my friend? Appreciate you coming on for a few minutes with us again tonight.
Hey, how are you?
I'm much better now, much better. So, you know, Bill, I think – when I look at the situation, you know, with the Pac-12, and I, my take was, look, they're not going to get the demands that they want, but you have to put that kind of stuff, you know, out there. But hindsight's always 20/20. You know, how much of this is the NCAA not really embracing name, image, and likeness, trying to get the U.S. Congress to try to step in and stop the states, and you know, they've had multiple occasions where conferences have proposed the one-time free transfer that they shot down. How much is their short-sightedness on expanding the rights of college football players especially, but college athletes in general, to blame for what is going on with these players in the Pac-12?
Well, I think it's all been amplified by the pandemic itself. You know, I mean, you've seen players' voices get heard louder than ever, and I think part of it is they're risking their — it's not ridiculous to say they're risking their lives by going out there. I don't think it is, because all it takes is one athlete on a ventilator and this thing gets shut down. And I think they want their voices to be heard. And if you're going to go out and take those risks and risk your future, and you're 18 to 22 years old and you're not getting paid to do it, that's all the reason to capitalize and have your voice heard. Now, the one part of it that's kind of a hang up is they're not going to be getting 50% of the revenue anytime soon. You know, a lot of that revenue is used to so everybody else can play sports in college.
Yeah, and listen, you know, my take on all that, Bill, is you have to put that kind of stuff out there. You know what I mean? Like, if we're going to talk about a negotiation and what we want and try to bring some things to light, you almost have to throw out, you know, look, we want free chocolate cake on every Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like, you have to throw out things that you know are not realistic goals. But if you don't put it out there, then I don't know that you kind of get the – what do I want to say? That you kind of get the buzz around it that you would, you know, by saying, hey, we want half the revenue. We want coaches and commissioners to take pay cuts. You know, you're not going to get the same buzz without some of those demands being put in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like that episode of King of the Hill where Hank buys the truck for sticker price, right? You don't want to do that.
Right.
Yeah, I still watch that show. I'm sorry. But, it definitely, it's about more than likeness and money, and it's about more than COVID, and it's a lot about social injustice that a lot of these African American players are feeling. And it's not just African Americans, but it's a sport where, let's be honest, there's predominantly African American players out there that want their voices heard on all of these issues. And I think it all rolls into one thing, and it's pretty combustible because we're dealing with the uncertainty of, you know, between all five power conferences, five different ways of doing it, five different schedules, five different start dates. We don't know the playing. I feel like I've done this interview a few times with you, where you and I just kind of go back and forth, and we're like, we don't know, but we know that we want college football, but we don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill Bender joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, national college football writer for SportingNews.com. I wonder, you think the playoff committee would be open to a one-year maybe expansion, just from the standpoint of you have the Power Five that's going to play different types of schedules with different amounts of out of conference. And I don't know how you kind of gauge things, you know, because they love to talk about out of conference, and it's why everybody's beefed up everything. I wonder, I guess two parts to this question. One, how open do you think the committee would be to expanding for a one-year playoff? And number two is, what do you think their timeline is to trying to figure out how to have a postseason this year in college football?
Well, I'd answer that. The first question, I don't think they'll expand. I think we'll have the same judgment call we always do, and they'll eyeball teams, and that's the unfortunate part of having a four-team playoff and five power conferences. I think we'll still just have four teams, and the likelihood of two teams from the same conference getting in to me is pretty slim just on the numbers alone. So I think that's that part. And then the second part would be, I think depends on the turnaround, right? It depends on if they do these conference championship games on December 19th, it's not the worst idea to turn around and play in 2 weeks. I know that's tough, but, you know, I think they're going to try to get the games in as best they can, and you just never know with the uncertainty of having them shut that down. So I've seen both schools of thoughts, John, where I've seen some people say, well, don't start so soon. Let's wait and see until late September. I tend to be on that side of this debate. And then there are others that's like, let's play them in August and get them in before they shut things down. And I see both sides of that, but I still favor that. Let's start the season in late September and see if we can get it in from there.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I've always thought that it would land, is that closer to October is where we get the season started. My other thing too, Bill, and I know that this won't be an easy thing, but, you know, if ESPN obviously is going to want the programming of bowl games at the end of the season, and when you're talking about playing conference championship games into, you know, a week before Christmas, you're already in bowl season at that point. And my thing was, if you're going to realistically have the bowl games and you're going to ask kids to travel, and they want the programming, why not logistically eliminate the conference tie-ins and things and try to do it more regional? I mean, you know, Georgia State went to Arizona last year. Why? Because that's the conference tie-in. It would make no sense this year for Georgia State to qualify, let's say, for a bowl game in Arizona and have to travel out there because ESPN wants programming.
I agree. And I think, you know, you've already seen that with the Redbox Bowl being canceled. I think if you can regionalize the bowl games and do what you can, maybe if that means sacrificing some conference tie-ins, that's fine too. You know, because I don't know how many – here's the great irony of all this, in my opinion, is for all of those people that complain about bowl games, I think you'd take 43 bowl games this year. I think you'd take 143 bowl games if you could. And go from there. But I totally agree with the travel aspect of it. If you can regionalize the bowl games, play some of those, and keep everybody in as close to their part of the country as possible, that would make a lot of sense.
Do you think, Bill, that fair or unfair, and the saying is always perception has the same effect as truth, do you think that when it comes to the judgment, especially this year, that past performance, it will be given the most consideration of future behavior, I guess. And what I mean by that is, take like the SEC, that a conference like that has shown that, you know, it's been the best football conference and this, that, and the other, just from the perception aspect of it, is going to get much more of the benefit of the doubt, especially this year, versus maybe other conferences and what actually happens on the field.
Yes, absolutely. The SEC will get the benefit of the doubt, especially if they play 10, you know, with 10 conference games, which I think will be riveting in a lot of ways. Now, the one thing to keep in mind, though, it's going to get a little interesting if LSU, Alabama, and Auburn all go 9-1, and their only losses are a round robin to each other. That's where it's going to get dicey, with tiebreakers and those kind of things, because you don't have a non-conference tiebreaker. Are we going to have a three-way coin flip with Gus and Ed and Nick, like they did in Friday Night Lights? It'd be something else. But I think all of those things are, to your point, yes, the SEC will be given the benefit of the doubt, I think, because of the strength of the conference. I think the Pac-12 will have the onus of trying to have Oregon go 9-1 or 10-0. And, you know, that's been the rule in the playoffs. is there hasn't been a two-loss team yet. It'd be pretty wild if a two-loss team got to the playoff in a 10-game season.
Yeah, by the way, that's assuming that, there's enough Pac-12 teams that, have kids that, that play. What do you think about the idea as we swing back around to that? You know, I don't know if you saw the comments from Washington State's head coach. We're going to talk about a little bit about this later on in my dedicated college football segment. But it was interesting. You know, he didn't. It's his kind of point was it's one thing to opt out because of COVID-19 concerns. It's another because of the, you know, United We Stand type of movement. And I wonder if I threw the Wonder Woman lasso of truth around more of these coaches, if there isn't more of that sentiment about the idea of, and I hate to say it this way, you know, we may punish kids if that's what they, you know, COVID-19 being one thing, but the whole United We Stand thing, I don't know. I'm not sure how much support behind the scenes that coaches are with the idea of kids not playing if that's their reason.
Yeah, the truth serum would be interesting with that. I mean, because this is a sport built on team building and, those kind of things. But again, I think that rolls back to what message the Pac-12 players were really trying to convey. And I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it is the name, image, and likeness. I think it is the unity. I don't see anything wrong with student-athletes talking to each other in chat rooms about what they're standing for and what they want in the future. And in this age where, yeah, players' voices are being heard, like I said, now like never before. I mean, I keep pointing this out, that Kylin Hill was a big part in getting a state flag changed. Think about that. I mean, from all the things that have happened in the state of Mississippi, a running back was a driving force in getting a state flag changed once and for all. And I think that shows the power that these student-athletes have today, and they're starting to embrace that.
Follow him on Twitter, at BillBender92, national college football writer for Sporting News, friend of the show. As always, appreciate all his takes on this. Bill, be safe, my friend. Be good. You know, we'll be talking here soon, man, and we'll see as we get back into it, man, that it's going to be interesting to watch how this unfolds. So appreciate it as always, buddy.
Yeah, I'd love to break down some actual games with you. Hopefully we can do that in about a month, right, John? We'll take care of you safe as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.